They want to get into South Carolina because those are the national champs, the Gamecocks. I don't know if I'm mature enough to go to a school with the cock name in the mascot. Really not. So I wouldn't have been able to manage it there. And besides the fact that it is South Carolina. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to A Fan to A Fan, episode 63, the safe place where I'm allowed to speak openly about my criticisms of people and society. I'm your host, Frenice Coupe, and I hope you remember that name until your dying days. Let's get into it. What is up? What is up? What is up? What is up? How are you guys doing today? I am doing well. I can be doing better, but you know, we're living, we're aliving, and I need to do something. You know, I need to do something. So I just need to get it on with my life, and we're gonna try to do the things that we love, and hopefully we can get things on track, because I got a good fortune the other day from a nice fortune cookie. It said that something unexpected, you know, unexpected thing was going to happen to me, and then it's going to bring me lots of luck and blessings. So let's hope the Chinese is not lying to me again, okay? So you know what, guys, besides the fortune, everything else was just like, what the fuck, you know? We've been taking L's. I've been taking so much L's, okay? I should be on the L word at this point. I'm taking so many L's. Okay, you would not believe it, but I'm here and I'm trying to live, okay? And it's more so this employment thing. So every time I get so close to a job, I'm like, this is stable, this is in the bag, baby. And then they fuck me over at the end, and I'm like, what did I do to you? This last interview process I had, it was so much, and I literally thought I had it in the bag. Had a great recruiter, was communicating with her, got through the first round phone interview, got through the second round shadowing, and then the third round, I had to study for three assessments, and then I had to have another interview. So I did that. One was for a Vegas location, the other one was for the headquarters in Cincinnati. And then the Vegas person liked me, but there were no more spots left for that spot. So I'm like, let's go on over to Cincinnati. And then that guy, he drilled me in. I'm talking, the interview was supposed to be 25 minutes. That shit was 45 minutes long. And he was just throwing shots at me. I was explaining my upbringing, my life, my everything, all my jobs. He just wanted to know everything, and I'm like, dang, okay, so why talk to me for that long, try to pry all this information out of me if you're not gonna give me the job, you know? Because like, I don't like to open up with strangers. Well, me having a podcast explaining my whole life, but I'm saying, this is fine, but for an interviewer to get that deep into topics like my brother's death, and you know, digging and asking questions, knowing that it is a sensitive topic, just for you not to hire me at the end, I feel like that was really fucked up of him. And he's just asking so many questions and going over the time I was supposed to just for him not to hire me. And I would rather just have him be more direct, like him specifically. I don't want a specific template that they give everybody else who they don't hire. Like, you personally tell me what I did for you not to hire me. And that, as you guys can tell, it's salt all over my face because I'm salty as hell. So anyway, during that brief time, this 3-week process of me going to interviews and studying for assessments and doing all that with the same job, also had to contact 4 references, 2 of which had to be supervisors from previous jobs for this position, and it was like, no. And then their email had the nerve to say, okay, You can apply again in 90 days. Don't, I ain't doing shit in 90 days, okay? That was too much damn work. I felt like I was going to the armed forces. I am not doing that much work again. Guys, you would not believe how desperate I was when I was at the damn train station the other day. And I saw an ad for joining the CPD. And if y'all are not in Chicago, it's the fucking Chicago Police Department. And I'm like, you know what? We finna be Carl Winslow up in this bitch, okay? Like, I don't care. I was willing to be Carl Winslow. Like, and I have all the qualifications. You need at least 60 credit hours, driver's license, drug free, questionable, all of that, you know? So I have all of that. And I'm like, I'm gonna become a police officer at this point because y'all are pissing me off, you know? And then I thought about it. I'm like, I don't wanna be no damn police officer. You know? And I told my dad, he's like, go for it. And I'm like, let's go back to the drawing board on that. I'd rather be a firefighter, okay? You know? So anyway, besides that, besides my employment issues, let's talk about a different type of employment. Some people are going to get jobs tonight, okay? And if you guys don't know, tonight is the WNBA draft. The WNBA draft. Now, if I were to say this 2 years ago, y'all would be like, who gives a fuck about the WNBA draft? But apparently, it's a thing. It's popular to like women's basketball all of a sudden. And, you know, good. That's great. I am happy. I am a pioneer. I'm considering myself a pioneer, even though I'm only 23, but I am technically a pioneer of women's basketball because it's been 10 plus years, okay? Like, let me put that on a fucking resume. Please, let me put that on a resume. But yeah, so I've been fighting for it for a long time, and I'm happy that it was a spike in popularity, and that's great. That's great. But I'm still going to be honest. A lot of y'all still fucking suck. A lot of y'all still in the comments, still talking this shit about stuff that has nothing to do with basketball, just to purely attack women. But, okay. And as you guys know, you guys already know how I feel about this. I had an episode earlier in the days. It was called WNBA. Okay. And you already know how I feel about women's basketball, but let's just have this as a part two to talk about women's college basketball, the rise of popularity, and my views and what I see from you guys, so you can realize some of your hypocrisy, and maybe you will listen, maybe you will get the view, maybe you will understand this through your thick skull, because my Twitter fingers are tired of replying to y'all in the damn comment section on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram Reels, anything. I'm really just getting tired of y'all. So, you know what? I'm going to explain it to y'all, and hopefully y'all get the damn point. But anyway, this episode is uniquely named NCAAWB, A Rise in Women's Basketball Popularity. Let's get into the 63rd episode of A Fin to A Fin. Bada, bada. Bada, 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 bada. What's up, guys? Okay, and also to set the record straight, I am doing some work. I'm doing some part-time sale gig on the side, selling these sports betting promotions. So if you want to, you know, hit me up for that, give me a little commission, then, you know, you could do that. I may give you a little some, but, you know, you got to get it first. You got to get the app first. And also, I'm doing this little, you know, this gig work. But about to go off on them. But again, this episode isn't about me. It's about NCAAWB. All right. So, and just in case you guys don't know what that means, NCAA, College Women's Basketball. Just so y'all know. Just so y'all know. Okay, anyway. So let's get into this first point. Why the rise in women's basketball popularity? Okay, so I am specifically talking about college basketball. People are still shitting on the WNBA. So with time comes healing. So the rise in women's basketball this year is more so because of, we got your powerhouse teams and certain players, specifically Caitlin Clark from Iowa, and not gonna lie, she's a fucking dog. She is a motherfucking dog. Like, she's a motherfucking dog. Like, Like, she's a sharpshooter. She's a triple-double machine. She's a great passer. She's a great leading scorer in all of NCAA, AWB, all of college basketball history. She'd be double-team, triple-team, still hitting shots on people. I wouldn't say she completely transformed Iowa's basketball program, because they were still making the Sweet 16, Elite 8 a few years back. And then their coach is also really good, and she has a history of making the tournament and also being top in the Big 10 for women's basketball. So I'm not going to say she completely transformed the team, but she definitely put eyes on that Iowa basketball program. And also, I don't know why, just more, you know, people are drawn to it this year because they saw how much of a fucking dog she is. And then we also have LSU. They won the national championship in 2023. They got some stars, some hot stars. They got injuries. They got Flaugier. They some dogs too. They some dogs in the SEC, and they're more vocal. They're mostly majority African American team. They're a good powerhouse. They draw a lot of media attention. So that's good. Also, Angel Reese, she does it all. She's beauty. She knows how to ball. That also draws them too. Those are like the main contributing factors. But that's like the rise. But I'm a little confused, honestly, as to why exactly it is because of these three people. Like, I mean, you don't have your people who, you know, get number one leading scorer all time in NCAA basketball history, of course, but I felt like there were people before Caitlin Clark that did the same shit. Those stars of those teams that brought the teams to the Final Four while doing all these triple doubles and, you know, extremely skilled and athletic women's basketball players. But I do see not to say, like, America's not sexist anymore. I just feel like people are becoming more open-minded about it. So, I mean, that's always a good thing. But, of course, in that, you're going to see those people who are not open-minded and people who still talk shit. I just feel like people are more open-minded. And I mentioned a little bit a couple minutes ago about the sports betting thing, too. You see the rise of sports betting in America. You see more states legalizing it, because what I learned from my 2 weeks on this job, sports betting not allowed in every state, but they're slowly opening up, you know, more states to it. So, of course, people hop on any opportunity for a get-rich-quick opportunity. You know, take it, make your bread, hit your parlays, do what you gotta do, hit that money line, you know. I ain't blaming the hustle, okay? I ain't blaming the hustle. I won $2 the other day, and I got happy, and I withdrew that shit. Not me. I don't need another addiction on my hands, okay? Anyway, so that with the sports betting, you can win a decent amount of money from that, betting on these teams. Also, with the men's college basketball, not gonna lie, it's not as fun or as fun to watch as it used to be, okay? It's really not. You're used to those upsets that you get. You're used to those game winners, those close games in the tournament. But it hasn't been like that. And that is one of the reasons why there are more watches of the women's game this year. I believe it was 18.7 million compared to 14.2 million viewers of the men's Final Four. And also wasn't as exciting of a game. UConn is a fucking elite beast of a team. And they won two national championships in a row. And honestly, people don't want to see that shit. Like, part of the reason why people do prefer college basketball over professional, you know, NBA, WNBA, is because you have that, it's less predictability. You have more teams in the pool. And you're able to, people grind harder because, you know, they used to not get paid for the shit that they do. They just play out of pure love and out of, you know, trying to make it to the pros. So that's why it was just so intriguing to watch. But with the men's game, it's just not as fun as it used to be. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's still exciting compared to the NBA, but it's not as fun. And then with that women's game, you see those powerhouse teams. You see closer gets, people can gain winners. You see, you know, these women, and you know what y'all think they weren't doing before. But yeah, you know, it's more exciting in that sense. So I would say that's definitely contributing to the rise. Will I say it's solely because of Caitlin Clark? No, but a lot of ignorant people would. But I'm gonna explain more detail, you know, go into detail about that. And also, will I say it's LSU completely or Angel Reese? No, I wouldn't say it's that either. Again, I'll get into that. So y'all need to hold y'all horses so I can freaking explain anyway. So my second point is I wanted to bring up, you know, some facts to you on why I believe that this is not the first time that we've seen, you know, a Caitlin Clark or an LSU or, you know, anything like that. Okay, so let me explain to you about the women's basketball powerhouse. So you have your top women's basketball teams in history. We have the Tennessee, we have the Louisiana Techs, you have the UConn, so you have the more so in the past 20 years or so, Notre Dame and South Carolina. With Tennessee, they won 8 national championships over one of the greatest women's college basketball coaches in history. Has the whole fucking court named after her, Pat Summitt. She died in 2016. She had Alzheimer's early onset dementia. It's really sad. So she was forced to retire due to that. But that was the original women's basketball powerhouse. It was University of Tennessee Lady Vols. So understand that. And then y'all gotta know, y'all never met the biggest UConn hater. I am the biggest UConn hater you will ever meet. It's fuck UConn. So when I saw people rooting for UConn, I was like, are y'all doing fucking drugs? No. UConn basketball, they have the most national championships in history. They have, Gino Auriemma won 11 national championships. It's been teams where they won four national championships in a row. In all 4 years, that was Breonna Stewart when she was there. I'll talk about that bitch later, because, I mean, I don't hate her, but we're going to call her a bitch because she's a bitch, okay? So you have them being undefeated, winning over 100 games in a row, them constantly being ranked number one year after year after year. Every single Final Four game or every single team in that tournament, they blew out every single team. In the national championship game, they were blowing out teams by 30 points. And that definitely took the excitement out of the game. It did, not gonna lie. And then every single year, they would snag the top recruits. They would snag the top recruits, and the game was just so, it was very imbalanced. They were imbalanced. And then on top of that, they were in a trash-ass conference. That year when they won over 100 games in a row, the years where they won 4 national championships in a row, they were in that whack-ass AAC conference. So no. Biggest UConn hater anyway. So they never sucked. So that's why I was really surprised when people were acting like UConn is an underdog of some sort, you know? And no, they're nowhere near that. They have one of arguably, even though I'm a hater, Gino Auriemma, best women's basketball coach, NCAAW women's basketball coach in history, even coaches the Olympic women's basketball team. So y'all cannot tell me shit about UConn being some sort of fucking underdog. He knows how to coach a team, you know? I mean, I'll say in this sense, them not having all their players, some of them being injured, that definitely played a role, but in no way, shape, or form has UConn ever been an underdog. And there's no mistake that they made a national title game or Final Four. So, I mean, I get it, new watchers, you won't understand that, but know that. So then I'm going to talk about Notre Dame, because I was a Fighting Irish growing up. That's like, that got me hooked on women's college basketball, was Notre Dame, okay? I wanted to be the fucking Hunchback of Notre Dame if it meant going there, but ultimately I decided it's a Catholic school. I don't know if I could manage going to a Catholic school. Like, I don't know. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Them Catholic schools know how to get lit. It's fucking Notre Dame. Imagine going to those football games every Saturday instead of seeing my Fighting Illini lose every Saturday. You know, the lights were, it was not Saturday night lights. But the lights were out because they were not that good, you know. So, yeah, it would have been great to be a Fighting Irish, seeing like how lit it was on that campus. But yeah, Notre Dame under Muffet McGraw, she coached the team for over 30 years. She won two national championships. Should have been three in 2019 against Baylor. But yeah, they were one of the best teams. I would say after the year 2019 is when basically all five of their starters went to WNBA draft because they were all seniors besides Jackie. Wait, no, Jackie left after. Yeah, so all their starters left, and then that's when the team started to, you know, they started to slip. I'm not gonna lie, and also Muffet McGraw retired as well. Okay, so this is not a damn Fighting Irish podcast. So let me move on before they hire me as a sportscaster. All right, so then I want to get into South Carolina. Because those are the national champs, the Gamecocks. I don't know if I'm mature enough to go to a school with the cock name in the mascot. Really not. So I wouldn't have been able to manage it there. And besides the fact that it is South Carolina. Okay, so, you know, they are more so a recent, about recent, I mean, probably 10 years, less than 10 years, Don Staley has been a coach. And just so y'all know who the fuck Don Staley is, okay? Don Staley, fucking, for one of the OG dogs of women's basketball, winning gold medals and also played in the WNBA as well when they first got the league started up. So she really transformed that school, because beforehand, South Carolina, they have never won a championship. And yeah, they've never won a championship. They were not talked about in terms of women's basketball at all. They were irrelevant when it came to the SEC. They weren't any of that. So, I mean, she really transformed that school, and she should definitely get more credit, you know, for what she did, winning three national championships already in less than 10 years. Yeah, and also getting those recruits in, that's a big deal. So, I mean, those are the teams I want to talk about, but these are the teams that aren't even mentioned when you guys talk about women's basketball nowadays, you know, because like I said, y'all don't know much, so y'all just stick to Caitlin Clark, LSU, Angel Reese when it comes to the rise in popularity of women's basketball without knowing the people who actually broke down the door for these women to even have this type of platform. But that actually leads me into my next point about attributing one person to the boom in women's basketball when it was way more many people that suffered, taking all that criticism, taking all the hate for no reason, for them just simply being women and playing basketball. And you guys just hate them so much for no good reason. And I'm still trying to figure out why you guys hate them. So it wasn't her. It was way more many players before that. If you think about who dominated women's basketball, who I brought up before playing at UConn, Breonna Stewart was a complete dog. Like, I mean, playing at UConn is a little bit different than playing at a different school because, like I said, Geno is such a good coach and he focuses his attention on having a more complete team versus, I was going to say a Heisman. What's the award called? I forgot what the award is called. It's not a Heisman, but basically the Heisman. Like he doesn't focus on the National Player of the Year. He focuses more on a national title. And, you know, having a complete team is more important than that. So she was a complete dog at UConn, and even if she went to a different school, she would have been a dog there. One player who reminds me of Caitlin Clark's playing ability, triple-double queen, score, offensive dog, was Sabrina So Sabrina Ionescu, I believe, she played at Oregon, and she transformed that program too as well. And she definitely brought a lot of eyes. She was highly skilled on the offensive end, great scorer, again, known as the top triple double queen. You know, and I'm like, y'all weren't talking about her. And then also when it just comes to playing excitement in the tournament, I'm not sure if y'all watched, like, if y'all watched any national title games before, but there have been many game winners hit in national title games, in regular season games, in, you know, the conference games. So I really don't know what you guys are talking about when it comes to that. For example, we can go back to 2018. I'll remember because it was Notre Dame, and that was my school. So we have Arike Ogunbowale hitting two game winners, and one of them was against UConn. Took down UConn in the Final Four, hit that game winner. And then she, of course, hit a game winner against Mississippi State as well. Two game winners, got a shout out tweet from Kobe Bryant and everything that year. Also, the year after, we have that Notre Dame and Baylor. That was 81-82. That was a very exciting game too as well. So I really don't know what you're talking about. And then even when it came to breaking that UConn winning streak, having won over 100 games back in 2018, it was a Mississippi State game winner hit by the shortest player on the floor. She's the one that had broke up that winning streak, and it was done in the game winner in a tournament game. So, I mean, if y'all actually took the time to watch women's basketball before, y'all would understand that the excitement has always been there. It's just people becoming more open-minded to it. So, I mean, I'm a little confused there. Wait, I'm gonna pause. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. That was a little technical difficulty there. Sorry, that was really weird. I know you guys are probably thinking, what's going on? Yeah, did not want to get copyrighted there. Okay. So anyway, I wanted to get on to my next point of, you know, along with the popularity, it still comes the same shit that was there before with women's basketball. For the most part, I feel like being sexist is looked down upon in society, but not really. It's not up there with racism, but it's people tolerate it more seeing that it's women's basketball. So it's completely okay to be sexist. And I just hate it. And I just really like to call it out so you guys can see what it is. And don't get me wrong, I understand being in the public eye, you're expected to have some criticism. But when it comes to athletes who are playing a certain sport, let's just talk about basketball because this is basketball. So you criticize, oh, this person's defense sucks. This person's shooting percentage is low. This person doesn't know how to pass the ball. This person needs to get more rebounds. This person's out of shape. Blah, blah, blah. You focus on that stuff. Why am I in the comments section and I'm seeing, oh, good thing she knows how to play basketball. She wouldn't pass as a model. What that got to do with sports? I'm confused. Like, what they got to do with the jump shot? Y'all in here calling people ugly in the comment section. Like, what they got to do with anything? And it's only because they're women. And then you can, I don't know, like, in the comment section of any, you know, men's college basketball or NBA, I don't see these same men calling these other men ugly. And that's for what? You don't say, oh, he got a long neck. Oh, he ugly as shit. No, it's just the women. And it's completely fine because y'all are talking about women's basketball. So I'm just here to call that out. Like, what does someone's looks have to do with their damn jump shot? I'm not seeing the correlation here. Can someone please explain that? Can someone please? I don't. Oh my god, that's just so annoying to me. But like I said, we're always going to have these problems. They're not going away. And being sexist is completely, is tolerated in America. And not enough people call it out when they see it, especially when it comes to sports. And also, you guys are so quick to criticize WNBA players because you think most of them talk about pay. Nope, not every, I talked about this in a previous episode. It's not, no, not every women's basketball player is complaining about pay. If they hated the pay so much, then they would stop playing. Then they would go on strike. But no, you guys are grouping one or two people who decided to make a statement about unequal pay and saying, this is all women's basketball. They suck. They do this. It's nobody in the stands. Blah, blah, blah. Just going full attack mode for no reason. And then also use that title for clickbait just to publicly just shame all women's basketball players for no good God reason. And it doesn't make any sense when not everyone's talking about pay. If pay was an issue, they would use their degrees, not go to the WNBA and work at some firm and make their money there. But no, they work, they play because they love the game of basketball, and that's what they do. And then if it comes down to it, they go overseas during the off season and they play in Russia, China, Brazil, wherever they need to play, somewhere in Europe. It doesn't matter. So nobody's complaining about pay. Y'all just using that as, you know, an excuse to just shit on them for no good reason. Just talk about their craft for no good reason. And not to, y'all, again, they're calling people ugly. What does being ugly have to do with this? Okay, that's quite lame. It's up there with your mama jokes. But don't get me wrong. The your mama jokes, they hit. They hit pretty hard. So whoever created the your mama jokes, I'm going to, you know, you did your big one on that one. But anyway, that's what I want to talk about today with this rise in popularity about, you know, women's college basketball, women's basketball in general. But I'm going to get into my final thoughts here about how I feel about it in general, blah, blah, blah. Tied up in the next bowl for y'all. But yeah, just leaving you that. Alrighty, on to my final thoughts because they clearly matter more than your thoughts over here. Now, what I wanted to just talk about here is how do I feel in general? Besides all of my trash talking and criticism, how do I actually feel about the rise in popularity about women's basketball? Okay, I gotta admit, it feels kind of good. It feels kind of good being a pioneer, okay? I'm a pioneer because this has been 10 plus years of taking verbal, mental, Twitter abuse, YouTube abuse, Facebook abuse from everybody just because I was a little 12, 13 year old girl defending women's basketball by myself with all the sexism from grown ass 40 year old, 30 year old, 50 year old, probably 60 year old men. And I didn't care because it was something that I believed in, and I believed that women, they were just unfairly being talked about for no reason. And I just thought, how can a person hate somebody just for doing what they do? And that just, to get off topic a little bit, that just kind of shows, and that just, you know, reminds me of who I was and who I am always going to be. I'm a person that sticks to my values. I'm a person that's willing to stand up for something that I believe in regardless of the hype. And it just kind of reminded me, you know, besides the fact that it was the national title game and everything like that, and just watching more eyes on women's basketball, it reminded me because of the interview that I had with the manager that fucked me over because he was a little bitch. But he asked me a question towards the end. He said, so you stopped playing basketball for your school, you know, back in high school, and then you got to college and you worked on political campaigns and everything, you wanted to go into politics, and then you didn't anymore. And then he said, you know, you worked selling the phones, and then you didn't like it anymore after 3 months. And then he mentioned, so You sold health insurance for about 6 months, and you left when you didn't like it anymore. What makes you think that if I give you this position, that you'll stick it out if you lose interest in it? And I was like, damn, he low-key came from my life. Like, I didn't do anything. I'm like, it's a fair assessment. And then I think about everything that I did, everything. I'm the same person regardless. I'm the same person regardless of everything. Because, you know, when I did decide to not play for the basketball team in high school anymore, it wasn't because anyone pushed me off of it or made me disengage. It's because I disengaged and I didn't see fun in it. I didn't see that spark that I first had when I initially, you know, was on the team. Something was just depleted, you know, from me. And talked about this before, but I just remember this one specific moment when other people can see that I lost that spark. It was one of the boys' varsity players, and I was getting ready. I was putting on my shoes. I was getting ready to practice. And then never talked to this guy in my life. Side note, he would love the sophomore girls. He was like a senior. So if you ask me, that was kind of predatory. But you know what? That's besides the point. He told me, he said, "You look like you don't want to be here." And then of course I lied. I'm like, "No, of course I want to be here. It's basketball practice." He's like, it just looks like it's not fun for you. And I was like, thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, it's not. So why waste my time with something that I don't want to do? But did that make me stop loving the game? No. Did it make me abandon all of the values I had playing basketball? No. Did it make me lose a competitive spirit? No. Did it make me stop playing sports completely? No. Did it make me stop watching basketball, women's basketball, NBA? No. Did it make me stop loving Kobe Bryant? No, it didn't. I'm still the same person that I always was. And then I see it. And I see and I think about how I was literally, again, 12 years old, arguing in the comments with 30-year-olds about women's basketball. And then how I'm doing this podcast now. And how I'm still fighting for what I believe in every day, even though I don't care what other people think. And then when I was doing it on campus and in person, when I said my views, I said my jokes, and people attacked me for no good reason. Well, I mean, I'm going to stop playing the victim. I was being petty. I was being messy, and I got attacked. And how I did it, and how I stand it when everybody was against me, and how nobody defended me. And I'm used to people not defending me, and I still stood up. So I'm still that same person. I'm still loyal. I still stick to what I stick to. So I don't see how that's me not being consistent in a way. And then even with the present jobs, I believed in myself. I surely did when people didn't believe in me. And I did it. And I did. I know if I can do anything if I put my mind to it. I can do any single thing. And I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm the same exact person. So for someone to question my ability to stay or to be loyal or to stick to the same hardworking principles that I've always had, to call me someone that gives up quickly is just a complete false statement. And you know what? Who cares? I don't care what that man thinks of me. Probably won't see me again. I'm not trying to get in for that company. It's too much work. No, but I digress. Let's get off of that subject. But again, it feels good to see more popularity in women's basketball, seeing that I fought for it and I stood up for it all this time. And then even when it's a boom, I'm like, good. Even when it's not a boom, good. I'm still going to watch it regardless. But also, watching the final moments, watching South Carolina win, watching Dawn Staley, you know, win and, you know, be emotional about being undefeated and winning this title. it kind of made me emotional. And it was probably PMS because I did have my period the next day, but that's besides the point. It made me emotional because it just reminded me of the long way, how far we have come. And I'm sorry for stuttering. I'm still in shock. But I don't know. I just felt a little emotional seeing it. And it was great to see. And it was great to see all those eyes on it. And it was great to see a sold out stadium and those high ticket prices and people showing up and the celebrity eyes on it. It was great to see. So I feel great. And hopefully we only go up from there and the popularity doesn't stop and more people can realize the talent that these women have, you know? So again, let's not pretend like it was just these two people or just these certain teams that did the work for women's basketball when there were people before them that broke open that door for people to walk into. So let's stop. If you don't know, then you don't know. If you didn't watch before, okay. But don't act like you know everything, okay? So I would say, yeah, it's great. It's great. And then if you want to stop watching, don't watch, okay? Because, I mean, I see so many people in the comments also talk about how, like, oh, Caitlin Clark is leaving. These people are going to the draft. Nobody's going to watch after this. They're not going to be popular again. Okay, good. Don't watch. Don't watch. Please don't watch. Nobody. I don't want you to watch. I don't want you to watch if you're just going to be leaving these comments. I don't want you to watch. Place your bets and then leave. I mean, that's all I got to say in regards to that. You know, like, you know, watch. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's not me being slightly racist by saying it in that accent, in that tone, and the arrangement of those words. So my phrase for anyone when it comes to women's basketball, y'all new fans who are just so fucking rude and, you know, these backhanded compliments, a lot of backhanded compliments, I'm going to say it. All 2024 and beyond. You know, like, you know, watch. Okay? And that's what I think about this whole popularity and the rise of women's basketball. I really do appreciate it. But that was episode 63 of Offend to Offend. Thank you so much for listening. All right. That is all for today's episode, folks. Thank you so very much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. If you ever want to get in contact with the Beast, you can easily do that through Instagram. And that Instagram would be at Frenice the Beast. And if you need me to spell that out because you don't know how to spell Frenice, that is FrenEseTheBeast. Again, thank you so much for listening. Remember to tell your friends about me, laugh about me, but just make sure you tell them about me. But most importantly, besides that, always be prepared to offend to offend. Thank you very much. Have a great day, night, life, whenever you're listening. See ya.